I wasn't that molested. You know what I mean? I was mildly molested.
What happens?
Except for the being abducted part. I don't know what that the part where I was abducted is a blackout. Yeah. So that might have been the one.
You can't be claiming anything with that shit. If you don't remember, it doesn't count.
But the ones I do remember were just like the homies trying to fuck me in the ass and some kid across the street blowing me. And my dad kissed me on the mouth. Welcome to Trailer Psychology, Episode 1. If you're wondering who the fuck I am or why you should listen to me, you shouldn't. This is a bad idea for you, and it's a bad idea for everyone else. No one is looking. This is the podcast no one wanted from the guy no one wants. And, no, I'm just kidding. Actually, we have a lot of, there's a lot of people have been pressing me to do this podcast. I've been in hiding for almost 20 years. You know, a lot of people have been asking me about this. Jesse Jackson, Maharsha Ali, however you say his fucking name, Pete Townsend, which I don't know why he's into it. There's also the Beechwood Nunnery, which the local Beechwood Nunnery, which has been big supporters of mine, as well as the Eastside Sex Workers Union of America, has been begging me to do this podcast, as well as fans from my old band Rehab, fans from Brooks Buford. The last time you saw me in America, or the last time a lot of people saw me, might have been 2005 on the MTV show Trailer Fabulous, which is a trailer makeover show where we, you know, it's like Pimp My Trailer, basically. I had a show in the UK after that, about 2007. I don't know if there's going to be any like UK listeners in it, whatever, however you say that accent, will be listening to this. But yeah, so a lot of people have been wondering what's been going on with me. I went into hiding pretty much after that. And I've been trying to avoid a career in entertainment as hard as I can, which hasn't worked. I tried to become a normal person. I tried to learn how to like send invoices and shit and like show up to a meeting and act normal. And it just didn't really work out. And so we're back to this shit again. So we're back to just me talking about weird shit. So I guess if this is not really my, or I guess it's still my origin story, you know, where have I been? So I don't know. Yeah. So shit started to go south. You know, I was signed to Jermaine Dupri, I believe this last deal I had on Aristotle. Well, I had my last deal I had was on Interscope with a group called, I can't remember the name of the group. That's how many record deals I've had. I've had 5 record deals. The last one was a pop group that I can't remember the name of it. What was it? The Audio Club or something? It was like, it was supposed to be like a, I don't know. We was doing some like Black Eyed Peas type shit. It was a white girl and me as the rapper and a producer. And I don't know, that shit went, you know, the producer on that, all respect due, if you're looking at this, you know, fuck that up. But that was on him. He didn't want to, he didn't want Timberland to do beats, if you can imagine that. So, but I'm sure he had his reasons. I've got a lot of these kind of stories. I mean, actually, a lot of Rehab fans, the thing is I don't know if all the Rehab fans know the actual story of what happened. I've posted some of this over the years, and like, I think Danny, the other guy in Rehab, might have, you know, even said something about it, but a lot of people thought that the group broke up because I was smoking crack, which I wasn't. At the time, the group broke up. I had 2 years sober when the group broke up, and the group basically ended with Danny calling the record company in midair and being like, I don't want to be in a group called Rehab. And that's literally how Rehab ended for all you Rehab fans. There was nothing else going on. It was unexpected. And it was Danny's personal reasons for not wanting to be in a group called Rehab. And if you're wondering if a guy who said he didn't want to be in a group called Rehab then started the Rehab group back 2 years later and then now owns the Rehab name and still performs the Rehab songs, well, that is the nature of Danny. So, like, that's what happened with that. But no, I was smoking crack maybe 2 years before that, and the only thing that happened from smoking crack was I missed a show because I had a hole in my nose and I had a nasal hemorrhage, and I had to go in the hospital. And so I missed like a big show, and I might have fucked up some other shit, but you know, that didn't break up the group. I got sober again, partially because I didn't want to like lose rehab. You know what I'm saying? So that is not what happened. And then I had a manager at the time. Like, I'm guessing that I had a manager who turned out to, who I fired, who turned out to be rehab's manager 2 years later. And that dude, I think for some reason, needed to make up a story that I fucked up the band, which I don't understand why you need to do that. You could have just been like creative differences and leave it at that. So I don't know. I don't even think Danny made that story up. I don't know why that dude did that. I don't know. He's half gay and whatever. I don't know. I mean, like, and I don't mean like, I don't know. He did things for non-monetary reasons. He did things like a bitch would do, to be honest, like a bitch that's mad at you. and I don't know where that dude is, but he did a lot of weird shit that, I had a lot of shit happen to me in music business where I got fucked over, and it wasn't even about money. It was just like people being bitches. Cause the ego level and the like, pettiness of people in the music industry back then was crazy. So that's what happened there. And then, so I got a solo deal after that on, with Jermaine Dupri on So Def. And we started trying to work that album, which I ended up doing in Germany. I went to Germany for like a year. I don't know how I ended up in Germany. It had to do with like the label, the parent company. It was with the parent company. So, and they wanted me in Germany. And so I did that in Germany. And then I got the show Trailer Fabulous on MTV because I had a song called Trailer Fabulous. And that's how I ended up doing a Trailer Makeover show. And of course, from that, these UK people were like, you know, whatever. I can't do that accent, but I was going to try it. But they wanted me to do that. And so no one has seen me since, wondering what I'm doing. I've been doing IT work mostly. I've been doing IT work mostly for like 10 years. And I got into trading, algorithmic trading, which no one watching this will know what that is, but just like stock type of shit. And I did that for a few years and none of that has worked out. And so I'm just back to doing this type of shit, which is talking, because most of the time I waste all my comedy. I waste all of it basically DMing bitches. You know, it's like, all of this material that I have, I don't even realize this material is me trying to make someone laugh so that we can fuck. I mean, it's just, what else is there, you know?
We should go to an ad real quick.
Okay, well, you know, just want to let you know that this is sponsored by Irwan. Irwan makes some of the most expensive foods for no fucking reason you've ever heard of. If you want to spend $2,000 to $3,000 on a cheese sandwich, go to Irwan. Cut.
That's great.
That was something. Love that. Yeah, that was great. Erwan's good on that. Cool. You're texting bitches this whole fucking time. I can't even get you to focus. My man over here literally does nothing but fuck. He's like a champion. And I'm older now, so all I do is coach. You know, I don't even want to be doing numbers like that. But my man over here, the producer of the show, really is an athlete, a dick athlete. And he's doing great work. And I'm really supportive of what he's doing. And you should be too. Stop hating on your friends. This is the thing that the guys need to understand. This is a fucking team effort. You're not in competition with each other. There's nothing gayer than competing with a heterosexual man over a woman. It would be less gay for you to fuck a man than it would be to compete with another man over women. Because this is how it works. Everybody's in their own lane. Lawrence is in his own Asian lane. I'm in a lane. My producer's in his own leather band lane. And look, this is three sets of bitches. We don't look at the other bitches each person's getting and be like, why is that bitch not like me? No, we don't do that because it's unrealistic. It's like hating traffic. It's like hating traffic, you know, it's like, and plus too, like it's a team effort. The more you can build with your friends, you know what I mean? And share information and create Google Word docs with all of the collective information of all the hot women in your area, the easier it will be for everyone to succeed. It's teamwork makes the teamwork. Well, what's it? I don't know. Fucking I and team. What's that thing? Dream teamwork. I don't know. But here's the important thing is that If you hate on another man because he's getting a bitch that you want, you're gay. Okay. You're not even like a fun, cool gay at all. This is like a gay that you don't want to be. What I learned staying at home for the last 20 years, I have schizoid personality disorder. You guys can Google that. Maybe we'll drop a link in the fucking comments. I have schizoid personality. What that means is that I can isolate to a level that you can't even fuck with. So like basically how COVID was, right? Remember how everyone was like, oh my God, I have to stay home. Well, I did that for about 20 years and I didn't really notice. But at home, I learned a lot of things because I'm on the internet nonstop and, you know, I learned all kinds of shit from Wikipedia and YouTube, where I do all my research on COVID. Now, what else have I been doing for 20 years? Did I learn anything? Well, I don't know. Became a Buddhist. I went to therapy for 10 years. I went to therapy for 10 years, and I learned that all I didn't get better, but what I did learn. I went to therapy, I didn't get better, but what I did learn is why I was fucked up, which is important for some reason to know. I do understand now why I hate everyone and why I avoid them. It's basically like I've been trying to cultivate this thing, which I thought was like nihilism or stoicism, but really like where you if you don't have wants, if you don't have needs, who can harm you, right? Because you can't be hurt. Like you can't be hurt if you don't believe anyone loves you, which honestly, even to this day, I'm going to tell you young guys out there, kids today, young guys, you cannot be hurt by someone unless you believe what they're telling you. So when someone's like, I'm in love with you, just be like, bitch, you are not, right? Like, or you don't have to say it that way, but you can just be like, okay. Or you can say, I love you back, but just never believe it. As long as you never believe anyone cares about you, you can't be hurt. Now, the downside of that is then you don't experience love either. And we'll get to that later. Like, you know, there's a positive way to do life and a negative way to do life. But if you're trying to never get hurt, then you need to stop believing that people love you. They don't love you. You remind them of their dad, right? They don't love you. Your personality disorder fits with their personality disorder. So when people start to get really into you, you need to be super suspicious for at least a year, right? I mean, pretty much my first year of a relationship is probation, where I just study you and I'm looking, you know, to see if you work for the government. You know, I'm trying to see like what the catch is and like if you're going to try to kill me in my sleep or whatever. I just watch you. So you should just watch them. You know, you don't have to know, let them know that you're watching them, but, damn, I lost my train of thought. There's just some good material in here. This is important stuff, God. This is life lessons. Life lessons. This is, well, I can't remember what it was. Anyway, but yeah, so this thing about cutting off needs, you can't, and if you're schizoid, I don't know. I learned it from a young age because I grew up by myself and I learned at a young age that life was about hobbies really because no one was around. So yeah. Anyway, so I'm capable of staying inside for a long period of time. Like COVID was nothing. Like, as a matter of fact, I was stoked on COVID. I was like, this is fucking sick. And then I was also enjoyed how traumatized everyone else was because it was hysterical to me. It was like, so many people have never experienced anything. I mean, it was shocking to me. Like, I know that like, you know, trauma is not normal, but like, and because if you're traumatized, you respond to a chaotic event with total calm. What you don't respond to well is normal shit. Like, you know, I don't know, IRS, that'll freak you out. But like a worldwide pandemic or like civil war or a nuclear bomb or, you know, just fucking mayhem, I'd be cool as a fucking cucumber and then like lose my mind because I didn't like the tone of an email somebody sent me over an IT invoice, right? Just straight fucking go crazy for 3 days. But like real chaos, I'm going to be cool as hell. So backing up. So like, yeah, people just like, I was really surprised how, and then too, after the pandemic, people were like, we all just survived a trauma. I'm like, bruh, this ain't shit. This is not a trauma. But I get it. Like, I can't hate on these people because their parents love them. You know, like most, I guess, no, I don't know if it's normal, but it seems like people are very dependent on each other. They're dependent on their social groups. And like, I like to have my homies and I like bitches. You know what I mean? I like to be seeing somebody. I need people. I'm a chimpanzee, right? We're pack animals. I need people. But at the same time, I don't, wouldn't lose my mind from staying home for a little while. I mean, it's like, I didn't get it. Anyway. So I was already doing quarantine long before COVID happened. So really the last 15 years I've been self-quarantining for, not even knowing it. Like, but it has made me learn a lot of things, and it's why we'll be able to cover a wealth of topics on this podcast, because I've read every Wikipedia entry there is, and we're going to cover it. And I've also, because I am the son of a psychologist, which makes me a psychologist by blood and someone who's been in fucking self-help group since I was in utero, right? We're going to be able to cover a lot of things here in a way I think that's going to be more palpable. Palpable. I was like, oh, sorry. So, I mean, I guess the aim of this podcast will be to cover a lot of these topics, which I already know everything about, but we're going to bring on some experts and we'll interview people in different fields who know a lot about, like, you know, borderline personality or women with borderline personality, because those are the ones that we want to figure out, because you want to learn how to wrangle those bitches, right? We'll do that. We may do a whole thing on narcissism. We're going to do a whole thing on eugenics, you know, but not like the Hitler kind. I don't know how we're going to do eugenics actually without me getting killed, but something to do with genes, maybe. We're going to do something to do with genetics. I don't know. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into some history. I'm going to bring on a friend of mine who's very knowledgeable about the French Revolution or something. Ancient Egypt. We're going to talk about aliens. We'll have an episode on deep dive on aliens. We're going to do an episode, a deep dive on biology. We're going to do a deep dive on my favorite, which is evolutionary psychology, the origin of human beings, the origin of like why you act the way you fucking act. You know, mostly we're going to touch a lot of areas that are trailer psychology, because it's not regular psychology, because we're going to do like a lazy job of just butchering the information that we give you. And surprisingly, all of these experts are also sex workers, because little do you know, sex workers are all specialists in various STEM fields or whatever. You might not know that. That's the thing you don't know. I mean, it's like people who fuck a lot of sex workers know. You'd be like, that bitch knew everything about ancient Greece. It's the weirdest fucking thing. Be like, oh yeah, I was fucking this sex worker, and she explained the origin of the universe. It's true. We'll have an astrophysicist on here who's a sex worker. And mostly what we're going to do is have people on here as an excuse for me to talk. I mean, I think the main thing is that I talk over them, because whoever it is, I know more about what we're talking about than they do, because I wouldn't be talking about it otherwise. I'm not here to listen. If I was here to listen, I wouldn't do a podcast. I'm a terrible listener, so I won't be having people on here listen to their story, because I don't fucking care. I've decided to just be who I am, and I am someone who doesn't listen at all. And it's not that I don't have empathy. I'll listen if you say something interesting. And if I will listen to anybody, it's a sex worker, because they have shit to say. We're going to go to commercial now. Well, I just want to do a quick ad for Geek Bar Pulse. This is a great vape that I've been doing anally, and it really does cool the entire lower intestinal tract. It is amazing, and I can kind of feel it coming out of my urethra. So go out and pick up Geek Bar, a proud, proud sponsor of Trailer Psychology, and go fuck your mother. And also, too, we're going to cover spirituality, because people don't think of me as the spiritual giant. But really, unfortunately, I hate to break it to you, is this is what enlightenment looks like. And when I start to get into it, you're going to be like, oh, okay, maybe Brooks is enlightened. You may not think I'm enlightened because you're confusing enlightenment with like being nice or being a good person or being benevolent, and things like that, like helping the homeless or helping the retarded. But none of that means you're enlightened. It just means that you're helping people out, whatever. I'm here to help by talking over people. You know, that's how I do my best work, is by shouting out over people. So yeah, that's what you can expect from Trailer Psychology. It will not be like anything you've ever heard. I don't think there's anybody this fucked up, to be honest, or, you know, someone surfing the spectrum like I have been. But ultimately you can learn something and, you know, maybe become a better person, you know, although I don't really care about that part, but maybe you'll become a better person. Maybe you'll read a fucking book, you fucking champ. Jesus Christ, read a book. Maybe you'll get inspired to read a book. Maybe you'll realize, oh, my point of view is just a point of view. It's a perception. Consciousness is a fucking illusion. You're not even a person, right? You're not a, that's not a real thing. Okay. You're not even a person. What you're seeing out of your eyes is still just your brain's best guess of what you're looking at. Maybe you'll get some humility in your life from listening to this podcast. Good night.